I reckon the funniest comment from the whole Carl Williams thing has to go to Chaz from The Chaser. Remember them? He put out a tweet that said, Carl Williams, now even more underworld. A little bit black, but that's the sort of humour we like here in Australia. Open line, as I said, 8223 0000. Let's catch up with one of our friends of the show. It's Craig Isherwood from the Citizens Electoral Council. Hello, Craig.
Hey, g'day, Jeff.
You doing well?
I'm doing very well. How'd you get back on your travels, all right?
Yes. Yeah, I'll be here in one piece, which is good.
Didn't get taken by those monkeys up there?
Thankfully, they're largely vegetarians.
Oh, okay, right. they're hungry.
But I tell you what, you wouldn't want to meet one in a dark alley. The big angry males, they're about seven times, the orangutans we're talking about, seven times more powerful than your average human.
Ooh.
So, yeah, you'd come off second best pretty well. Yeah. It's like you versus a bikey. Who's going to win?
No thanks.
Exactly. Now, look, based in Melbourne, Craig, you wouldn't have heard about much else but Carl Williams over the last 24 hours, would you?
It's been a flooding on the news here. The media's been milking it for all it's worth, because the real live gang, gangland story, it's dynamic and all that sort of thing in terms of a steady flow of information.
Yep.
But, it doesn't make you stop walking down Melbourne streets. It's still a nice place to live, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people say, well, actually, maybe the sun shines just a little bit brighter and the shadows are just a little less deep with around.
We don't know what's been going on behind the scenes of all this. We only get the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, don't we?
Yeah, or generally. And often it takes years to come out after pretty well everyone who's involved has died, and then it's safe to write the tell-all book without fear of retribution.
Or getting shot.
Well, yeah, you're right. Now, I love your flair. You've got a flair for writing catchy press releases. And this is quite timely because they've kind of nutted out some sort of, cobbled together a sort of agreement, fashion, regarding the healthcare plan. And your headline is, Dr. Death Can't Fix Healthcare.
Yes, Dr. Death, that is actually not my name for him. That's actually the nickname that was given to him.
This is Kevin Rudd.
Kevin Rudd, yeah, when he was the almighty Mandarin under the Goss government in Queensland when he was 31 years of age.
Right.
He embarked on programs of economic rationalism in Queensland, and he was the one that ran through the what we call the Mopellan Society's program for deregulation, privatisation, outsourcing, and everything you've seen in the last 30 years. Well, this guy was the lead duck, as they say, that rammed it through. And the Queensland had the best healthcare system in the world in the 1940s. It was completely free. But once these economic rationalists got stuck into it, and basically their philosophy through the Montpellerin Society, which incidentally we blew these guys, they were pretty secretive up until we wrote a whole expose on them in 1996. Then they had to come out and defend themselves, because actually they promoted the idea that health was an industry. You had to make health on a user pays basis.
Right.
So Dr. Death, as Kevin Rudd was known as his nickname, was responsible for shutting down, cutting and destroying a lot of what was based in Queensland in health. So he had this guy on television with his nice ties and looking very suave and swish and so forth, shaking hands with patients, saying we're going to do something for health. It's all smoke and mirrors. And, there is a cynical joke amongst the population. It says, how can you tell a politician is lying? Their lips move.
That's right.
Right? And that's actually what you see here. Because, look...
If all this is smoke and mirrors, like you're saying, then what's his intent with this new health plan?
Well, it's the same intent. It's the same intent of what happened back in the 1989 to 95 period. It's the same intent of what Jeff Kennett did here in Victoria in the early 90s with his economic rationalism, is to continue to privatise and shift a lot more money into the private sector. Now, the guy, there's a doctor, Dr. John Deeble, was the architect of Medicare back in the 1970s under Gough Whitlam.
Right.
And he had a column the other day in one of the papers here, could have been The Australian, actually, where he said that the collection of the extra $15 billion, okay, it's gone up a bit in the last couple of days, but that was expected when, the arm-twisting, the horse trading.
Yeah, a few carrots got thrown in.
He says it was completely fictitious. The point is, if you look at the increase, the promise of the $15 billion gain to the states over the next 10 years is what was thrown up by the Commonwealth. They've actually shown themselves that this is the amount of money that they have to throw in anyway to maintain the 8% increase per year over the next decade. So this is not new money, and this is our argument, is that there's no new money, no big amounts of money to deal with the waiting lists that are that are banked up in every state, the lack of hospital beds. Go back to 1975, we had 7.6 beds for every 1,000 people in this country. Today, it's been hovering around the 4 beds.
Right.
Now, we also had back in the 1975 period, we had...
Just labouring on that point for one second. Is that because the population has outstripped availability, or have they cut back on beds?
It's cut it back, Jeff. I mean, they literally...
Have they just not built enough hospitals in the meantime?
Both.
Right.
But it's also the privatisation issue, where the conscious effort of the Montparnasse Society back under Kennett in particular was to shift health out of the public area and into the private sector. So you had less people having access to health over the entire population. If you go back into the Whitlam years, where he actually brought online the whole policy of Medicare, for example, that was designed specifically on a principle, and the principle was called the general welfare. That's what he was actually acting on. It's an old Labor principle whereby healthcare shouldn't be an industry but actually represents the real wealth of your population because you're looking after your people.
Yeah.
So he brought back the people. He brought back the idea of Medicare. It eliminated any means test for hospital treatment, and it provided a standard ward for standard ward accommodation for free for all people.
If this is some sort of subversive scheme to wind back opportunities for people to access, you know, cheap healthcare, then why wouldn't they also be winding back things like, say, the PBS, the Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme?
Well, they are, Jeff. The number of the drugs, particularly some of the cancer treating drugs, are not available in PBS or being taken off. And it's the PBS is not in the public eye. Like, if you go to a hospital and you have to wait 6 hours in a waiting room, you remember that, you tell your friends about that, it's a big deal because it's publicly in your eye. But if you talk about, oh, didn't you fulfill my subscription, had my prescription today because I had to pay $300 for my prescription, it's not really as politically in your face as having these stories that come through in the media in particular of people who have been shunted from one hospital to another. Just 2 days ago, there was a story about a woman who couldn't get into either Ballarat or Warrnambool Hospital here, has ended up over in Mount Barker in South Australia because we couldn't get treatment. This is in so-called, John Brumby's backyard of this great hospital system, and he was trying to tell everyone about over the last week that Victoria had the best hospital system.
What's the end goal? If this is part of the process, then what's the grand plan? If you lifted the curtain and all the stuff going on in the back rooms, then what are we staring down the barrel at?
Well, the first thing is you're looking at the full privatisation of health. That's the first thing, where the money goes into the hands of private individuals. That's the theory behind it. But also, when you look at who promoted the concept of economic rationalism and privatisation, you come back to this Mont Pelerin Society, and they are part of this idea that the only people who should be allowed to exist on this planet are those who can pay for it, which is this idea of population control again. And it's all these policies that I continually talk about on your program come back to this idea that you have an elite group of what we call oligarchs that run the financial system internationally, and their policy through globalization is to eliminate people. There's too many people.
Well, there are too many people.
Well, the problem is, it's not true, for a start.
Okay.
But when people, and you get a lot of this argument coming now up in the papers, where people say, the cities are overcrowded, I can't get hospital care, the roads are congested, therefore there's too many people. No. What's happened is over the last 30 to 40 years, we haven't built the infrastructure necessary to support the population level that we needed to.
But no one likes mega cities. No one's happy in mega cities.
Well, that's why, you're right. That's why you should be building a lot more regional cities. Mm. I mean, in 1975, Gough Whitlam had a policy of buying back the farm. Now, we're not fans of Gough Whitlam across the board. Don't think that for 1 minute. But he did have a series of very good policies I like the idea of buying back the farm, but the wealth of Australians, the wealth of Australia belongs to Australians first, and therefore he was going to nationalise, take over the mineral mining companies in the north of this country. Now, that never happened. He got sacked, he got pushed out, because in fact, one of the major companies, the Rio Tinto, was one of those companies that was digging huge amounts of minerals out of the ground, and the Queen happens to herself be one of the largest institutional shareholders of that particular company. So,
just on the population thing, why is it bad not to have squillions more people on the planet? Why is it wrong to actually say, do you know what, we've kind of had enough? Like it's a good number. Let's just stick with what we've got. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's a number of different reasons. First of all, the planet is not overpopulated. That's the myth that goes around. There's vast areas where there is no people.
Man, that though. Why do we see so many people from Japan, for example, who come to Australia as one of their primal tourist points, and what they love about the place is the fact that they're not bumping shoulders with every other person, and they go, wow, so much space. We love this.
Well, they can go into the South Islands of Japan, the same thing, but it's exotic coming down here. It's a different climate. It's like us going to Japan. We'd say, wow, they do things different too. But the issue with people is that if you have a large population, you have the ability amongst the population to actually develop what we call the biosphere, the way the Earth functions. You can have more and more creative breakthroughs, for example, amongst the population to make discoveries about how the universe actually works. And those things can be, those breakthroughs can be developed through science and technology to transform the way that we actually exist. The problem is that's all been shut down under this idea of globalisation in the last 40 years. So we haven't built the cities out in the middle of the country. We haven't built the water projects. We've exported trillions, literally trillions of dollars of iron ore and coal out of this country with no net benefit to the Australians that are in here. And the profits have mainly gone to overseas corporations. So, today I put a press release out calling for the nationalisation of our national assets.
In terms of profits, though, I mean, profits, people only really get cranky if someone's making a lot of money and they don't own shares in that company. Who cares about overseas companies making squillions of dollars out of Australia if you've got shares in those companies?
Well, that's only a very small part of the population. I mean, if you look at
it's probably a lot of people with their superannuation. I mean, everyone's got that when you think about it.
But the benefit, Jeff, is not a monetary one when you're talking about actual economy.
Well, it is when you retire.
Up until the point that the entire economy collapses because you haven't built the infrastructure necessary, and you can complain about full cities or cities that are overcrowded because you haven't developed the physical economic backbone of your country.
Now, Craig, I have to leave it there, but do people want to find out more?
Yeah, we have a website, Jeff. I mean, this is rather complicated, but physical economy is an interesting subject.
The word oligarchy comes up a lot.
Prepare people. You have to understand these things from our point of view, and it's www.cecaust.com.au is the best place to go, or give us a call on 1-800-636-432, and we're always happy to send out our material to people.
Terrific. Thank you, Craig.
You're welcome, Jeff.
Catch you next time.
Yep, see you then.
There's Craig Isherwood from the Citizens Electoral Council. It's at 21 past 12. If you want to make a comment, give us a call on anything you like.
When news breaks, you can turn to 5AA.